College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, happy Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you're with us this morning. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here with me. Sue Thomas will be along with your traffic here in just a few minutes because the weather, my brain got mixed up there. The weather is going to affect your commute this morning. I was out last night with the fine folks from the Francis Howe Families Association. They were talking about Ashley Sturm and Randy Cook, a couple candidates in the Francis Howe district. And I have to tell you, they did this at the Defiance Ridge Winery, which is in Defiance. It's almost at the curve down there in Defiance, right? It's just before you get to downtown Defiance. And there were stretches of that road on 94 that you take south where the fog was so thick I had to slow down to a crawl because I was scared to death a deer was going to run out in front of me or something. It was bad in some areas last night. Now, it's not quite as bad this morning, but my guess is around the rivers in low areas, you're still going to have some pretty major fog problems. Did you experience any of that today?
Yeah, it got better as I got closer to St. Louis County, but in St. Charles County, I definitely was experiencing fog and was going pretty slow.
Yeah, so depending on where you are in the area, where you are at sea level, you're gonna experience a little bit of fog this morning. Maybe not as bad as last night.
The dense fog advisory is in effect till 9 a.m. this morning.
Wow. I one thing gave me a little insight on it. I felt briefly last night going down 94 what it's like to be a liberal. Walking around in a fog, not knowing what's around the next corner. It was eye-opening, to be honest with you. I just have to say. Great folks out there last night, though, talking about these all-important school board elections coming up in April. Once again, you're going to have a slate of people being pushed by the teachers' unions on you who want to implement the same failed programs that are killing our schools right now. Or you can find some common sense people like Ashley and Randy who will bring a representation of the parents and common sense to the board. They've also got some candidates in the Wentzville district who were out there last night. I didn't get a chance to meet them, but we will get them on the program and talk more about their upcoming school board elections. Once we have an opportunity here, hopefully the momentum from November can carry over into April, because Lord knows we need that to happen for sure, particularly after the very low turnout we had in the last April election for school board. We're still following what's going on in New York. There doesn't appear to be a lot of new information, but I do have a word of caution this morning. There are, if you go on social media at all and you Google it, all of the headlines will tell you Trump blames DEI before he has any information, and he falsely blames, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and blah 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 blah. If you were just born yesterday, you might be fooled by that stuff. If you weren't born yesterday, you should realize something very important here. Donald Trump shoots from the hip often. He always has. However, it's like accusing somebody of being a conspiracy theorist. If you check their record going back 8 or 10 years, you usually find out they were right. When Donald Trump told you the towers were tapped at Trump Tower when he was running for office, he was right. The mainstream media laughed at him. I don't believe he said this yesterday with zero knowledge of what's going on here, because we know one thing for sure. The air traffic control system in this country has been compromised. It's been compromised by DEI hiring practices that were put in place by the Obama administration is when it started. They dumbed down the test to get into the air traffic control system. It was challenged in court. They had to change it a little bit, but the system is still infiltrated with people who entered it at a lower standard. This is, besides the person flying the plane, there may not be a more important position in the country when it comes to air safety. and plenty of evidence of it that I'm going to play for you here on the show this morning of exactly what Donald Trump is afraid might have led to this. You had an understaffed crew at Reagan National when this happened. We still don't know who was flying the aircraft. There's all kinds of rumors out there floating around. I'm not going to get into that because I don't have any evidence of who that was. But there's a very good chance the president knows information that's not public yet about who was involved in some of these decisions when it came to where the helicopter was, what the helicopter knew, what the flight patterns were, who was working, why they were understaffed. So I would keep my powder dry if I were you when it comes too much. Because Jimmy Kimmel referred to the president as stupid last night. This is how the hard left is going after him. They think they see an opening to somehow hurt his presidency with what he said yesterday. But history has taught me that you should probably slow your roll on that a little bit, because when it ends up that he's right, you're going to look like a complete idiot. So I am just saying. Fortunately for me, I sound a little better this morning, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you do.
A little.
Yeah, you still have a little frog.
A little. I've been self-medicating, so, and that doesn't include alcohol. I've been self-medicating, taking the zinc tablets, right, and all that stuff that's supposed to ease the vitamin C, all that good stuff. And hopefully, whatever this is, I'm going to kick it before it gets any worse. Hopefully. I heard Will Cain on the radio last night and TV. He's got something going on with his voice, and he was apologizing for it. So it's going around. There's no doubt about that. Great to see all the folks who showed up down at Defiance Ridge Winery last night. And we're going to talk to one of them, Bill Igel, coming up on the show a little later at about 7:35. He's got a little bit of an announcement to make about his political future. We're going to get to that for you and break that news for you at about 7:35 this morning. Congressman Eric Burleson, live from D.C. Jim Carafano, I'd love to get his take on what happened maybe there outside of D.C. I don't know if he was even in town when it happened. He travels so much. In the 8 o'clock hour, Dennis Hancock, county councilman, who just won his situation with Sam Page, where Page was clearly trying to manipulate Wesley Bell into getting Dennis Hancock out of office. But Hancock has won that case, and we're going to talk to him at about 8:20, and then we'll get Jane Duker in here, talk more about the mayor's race, control of the St. Louis police. We got a big show for you on this Friday morning. Carl, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We want to hire the best people because we want the best people at air traffic control, and we want to make sure we have enough people at air traffic control who are actually competent to do the job.
Yes, we do. And that was J.D. Vance, if you didn't recognize the voice, because like Donald Trump, he has a pretty good idea of what might have happened here. Without doubt, what we do know is the tower was understaffed. They had two people doing the job of four at that crucial airspace.
Parents who have the courage to ensure their children are taught what they feel is right. And those who have the courage of their convictions to go houses of worship, in my book, will never be domestic terrorists.
Kash Patel yesterday with the Josh Hawley confirming that once he's in charge of the FBI, you won't have any memos like the one from Merrick Garland directing agents to investigate parents.
Unfortunately, there are some Democrat senators who still don't understand the principle of freedom of religion and Article 6 of the Constitution.
Why do they hate her so much? Did you watch any of Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation hearing yesterday? Sharp, to the point. There is no reason in the world she's not qualified for this position. But right now there are 6 or 7 Republican senators who are no votes on her.
Bernie, the problem of corruption is not just in the federal agencies, it's in Congress too. Almost all the members of this panel are accepting, including yourself, are accepting millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, Bernie was mad. Did you hear that? Oh, no. That period included when I was running for president, he said. Like, that doesn't matter. $1.5 million Bernard Sanders has taken from the pharmaceutical industry. All of these people up there targeting RFK Jr. are basically in the back pocket of the pharmaceutical industry. Is it a surprise that they're all opposed to him? No. He has handled himself very well in this so far. I think he gets confirmed. It looks like Tulsi Gabbard may be on the one on the outs right now, and I just don't understand it. We'll get to more on that for you here in just a couple of minutes. Carl, I have to tell you,
yes.
I also went to the Thomas Helbig Protecting Your Retirement event last night at the Frontenac Hilton, and I met a man who has listened to the show for many, many years, big fan. Everybody there was a 97.1 listener.
Of course.
But he's the guy who hates the Frey version of the national anthem.
The most.
I think he might be. He just wanted me to point that out. He wanted to shake hands with me and say, I really don't like the Frey.
Okay.
Just so you know. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. Carl's been told that many times, and he still plays it Friday morning.
Because they're still saluting America.
Okay.
Everyone salutes America in their own way.
I don't know if he politically doesn't like the Frey. I just don't think he likes that version of it. Okay. Whatever. Let's hit it.
Hi, I'm Brad Mims, Deputy Administrator at the Federal Aviation Administration. We are looking for the best and brightest to join us as air traffic controllers. We need a diverse group of air traffic controllers to bring distinct perspectives to handle the ever-changing aerospace landscape.
Do you? Really? That just so you know, and I'm gonna keep driving this point home this morning, just so you know, that was in May of 2023. That is Brad Mims, who Joe Biden promoted to like assistant deputy director of the FAA in charge of recruiting. And he launched a huge DEI initiative because, of course, when you're directing air traffic at a busy airspace like Reagan National in D.C., what the most important thing could be would be either your gender or your race. And if you just have enough people of different genders and races, it's important that you can do your job better if you're a different gender or race. Doesn't matter what your test score is. We need diversity and inclusion in the workplace. This is the crap that Donald Trump was referring to yesterday. I don't know who the air traffic controllers were that were working that night. My guess is Donald Trump probably does.
Well, so it sounds like the biggest factor was that two people were doing the work of four people. But we've heard, and well, they've recovered the black boxes, but we've even heard some of the audio that they released. And it seemed very clear that despite being short-staffed, which is a major problem, and maybe this could have been avoided had that not been the case,
right.
The problem was they were alerting the Black Hawk helicopter that there was a plane, and we still have not yet learned if there was a technical error where they were, for whatever reason, not able to hear that, or if they ignored it, if this was intentional. There's a lot of questions that are they've yet to be answered.
It is not beyond the realm of possibility that Donald Trump's reference is to the Black Hawk helicopter. We don't know who was flying it. It was a training mission, so you have to assume it was a trainee.
I heard a 29-year-old.
Well, they mentioned the names of two people. They've not mentioned the name of the third. There's wild speculation about who the third person was in the helicopter, and I can't confirm it with any good source other than X, so I'm not going to mention it here on the air. There's a lot of speculation about who that might be. We don't know yet. But I just want to direct your attention to the Washington Times article dated 1 February of 2024. Look at this article. Flashback. You see this? The FAA turned away qualified air traffic controllers based solely on race. There's an entire article here about a lawsuit filed against the FAA by the, who was it? The Mountain States Legal Foundation has amassed a trove of documents shedding new light on an Obama-era Federal Aviation Administration initiative that rejected prospective air traffic controllers based solely on their race. This article from a year ago says there hasn't been a fatal airline crash in the U.S. since 2009, but it's only a matter of time before that streak ends. The FAA recorded two serious near-miss runway incursions at Reagan National and Baltimore Washington International last year. Vigilance is waning because the air traffic control towers are woefully understaffed. And the lawsuit blames race-blind hiring. They replaced race-blind hiring with a biographical assessment stratagem designed to hire more minorities. Because you used to have to get a certain score on the AT-SAT and then undergo a grueling 8-hour cognitive test that measured your specific skills to do the job properly. The Obama administration threw that out and replaced it with some question and answer thing, like one-on-one question and answer biographical assessment. And the guy that sued them because he got a 100% score on the AT-SAT, but was rejected. And he claims it was only because of his race.
I assume he was white.
Yes. He also claims that the FAA created a quiz so they could let their members in on a secret, these activist groups. Anybody could pass the biographical assessment if they answered A to all but one of the questions. I mean, it's a pretty damning set of allegations that were leveled well over a year ago. So when you hear Donald Trump say, we want to know what role DEI might have played in this, if any, there's a good reason for that. Standards, when it comes to DEI, standards are lowered in order to accommodate quotas. It's not meritocracy. And trust me when I tell you, you want meritocracy when it comes to your brain surgeon, your airline pilot, and the person controlling the airspace at Reagan National. You need competence there. And it's fair to question whether or not that was the case, because we already know they were being sued for lowering the standards for those jobs. What a shame. All right, coming back, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
I give consent to sever my memories between my work life and my personal life. I acknowledge that once the procedure is complete, I will be unable to access my personal memories whilst on the severed floor.
Say gratitude.
Nor will I retain work memories.
Hey!
Sorry. When I return home at the end of the day. I make these statements freely.
So that was part of the trailer from a show called Severance. Mm-hmm. Came out in 2022, has two seasons. And, you know, I'm kind of looking for a break from just everything going on in my life right now, and my husband and I started watching this, and it's very interesting. It's a little heavy, which I'm kind of having a hard time with right now, just because you can even hear there from the trailer it's intense, but it is very, very interesting. Where Adam Scott, he's the guy who I love from Parks and Recreation, he's one of the main characters in this show, and he's leading a team of employees who have agreed, as you just heard there, to basically have this thing inserted into their brain where when they're at work, they cannot retain any of their personal memory. They don't even really, it's like they were asked their name, they were asked where they're from, like all these things. They don't know if they have a family, like none of that is retained while they're in the office. And then as soon as they leave, they don't remember anything from work. And it's this whole concept of separation of personal life and work life, this work-life balance that so many of us want, right? The question is, I mean, to what length would you go to get that?
It seems like it's the perfect argument to not allow people to work at home.
I guess so. You really wouldn't be able to do this. You have to be in a separate floor of your house.
I'm just thinking out loud here. I think we started to watch maybe the first season. I'm trying to remember because I remember
it was so long ago.
It was a long time ago, and they would take the elevator down into the basement of this building, and when they would walk in, like they didn't remember anything from home, and then they would show them at home, and they didn't remember, like, their boss would knock on the door, and they just thought she was a neighbor or something.
Patricia Arquette is his neighbor and his boss.
And his boss.
She's crazy, and he doesn't realize that, when he's at home, he just thinks she's the,
she knows who he is.
Right, because I don't, she's not, she hasn't been severed.
But what was, like, what is the, is it, I'm trying to remember, is it an experiment to see if they're more efficient, if they don't have outside distractions?
That's my understanding of it, is, it's kind of an experiment where, is it better to not have to be thinking about all the stress? Like, I think about that now. I would never agree to this type of experiment. But it, when you are going through a hard time, I can understand. And that's, I haven't gotten far enough into the show, but it sounds like this character, Adam Scott, Mark is his name in the show, that he lost, I think it was his wife. He lost someone very close to him. And I can understand, like I am right now, where it's hard because
he needed the distraction.
I don't want to be thinking about, I mean, I want to remember my mom, but I don't want to be thinking about everything and replaying it in my head like I am right now. And I probably will be for a while. So I can completely empathize now, probably more than ever, why somebody might want to do this experiment, but I would still never do it. I still want to be able to remember that I have a loving family. I still want to remember good memories from home while I'm at work, and vice versa. This isn't a super stressful job, so I'm not sitting here panicking about it when I'm at home, but I understand a lot of people bring that work stress home with them, and that is very difficult.
I could be wrong, but I think that if this was set in the 1970s or 80s, maybe 1960s or 70s, this wouldn't be all that weird, because there was more of a line between work and home life back then,
but don't have a phone.
But these days, your spouse or your significant other or your children can reach you at any time of the day on that little device that's sitting close to you right now. If you can't answer it, like, it's probably not an emergency, but what if it was?
Yeah.
Right? So what, do they just have to call the boss, and then the boss has to go in and say, it's time for you to go home, and then you walk upstairs and suddenly you have your memory back, and then you can deal with your stuff. I don't know.
I guess so.
It's weird.
So no, the show's on Apple TV Plus, by the way, and the second season just came out like a week ago. And John Turturro is supposed to be fantastic in season.
We saw it. And then we said to ourselves, haven't we watched this already? We thought maybe it was a rerun. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a slow buildup.
Yeah.
Like, the beginning is just, you're kind of wondering, like, where is this going? But my sister, one of my sisters, has watched, I think, at least through the first season, and said the end of the first season is just incredible. And you just, everything else makes sense. And it's worth it to stick it out.
See, so we quit after like episode 3 because my wife's like, I'm done.
But I think that's part of why I don't want an Apple Watch. I understand the appeal, but I don't like the idea that I'm wearing that, that people it can just constantly be vibrating. I can get emails. I can get text messages. I'm not saying I'm the best at putting my phone down, but I do make an effort to do that. And I really appreciate, especially now, being able to put my phone down and walk away from it and
do something else. As you get older, you're going to want one of those Apple Watches because you can find your phone. Right, Carl Middleman? Right now, Carl is on his Apple Watch about to ding his phone.
Where did I set my phone?
See, but I see that, but there are other ways. Like, there's technology. You can get them on Amazon. Like, my years ago, I remember I got one of my family members, I don't know if it was called like an AirTag or something.
Yeah.
But it was something, I think he like lost his keys a lot. And so we got him this, and you could, put it on your keys, and then it would ding.
It does make a noise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And? Does he lose his keys?
I don't remember. I'll have to ask him. I need to do that too for some things.
Or you can drop it in your kid's backpack, and you always know where they are. Yeah, they don't even know what's in there if you don't ding it. You can just track their location all the time.
There's
a
lot of ways to track
them. Or their car. Like, you throw it in the back window of their car, they're never going to know it's there. So, there you go.
And that's a theft prevention.
Yeah,
as well.
That's right. Yeah, if your car gets stolen, you can track it down.
Now, I think your point's interesting, Mark, about how the whole separation of work and home life was not as bad. I think it's harder for people to do that now. People bringing home stress.
So we all work from home.
My mom is, she killed me for saying this on the radio. She's 89 years old, right? She's had a cell phone for a number of years, but she keeps her ringer on all the time, like to the loudest point it can go. And if somebody calls her, there's no doubt that somebody's calling her. I don't know about you, but mine is usually on quiet mode because I'm either in the studio or I've got it on me and it vibrates and I can tell that it's ringing. But if I'm at home, I'll throw it on the counter and go about doing my stuff. My mother gets angry if she tries to call you and you don't answer. She thinks you're ignoring her, right? Because there was a time when you would call somebody's home phone and it didn't have a silencer on it. It rang, and if you were home, it was annoying and you were going to pick it up, right? So maybe that's part of that separation too. There was a time when you were in your home, you probably didn't bother people at work as much as we're likely to pick this thing up and text them or call them.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that's one possibility.
I remember being at dinner growing up and you have the phone that's attached to the wall and you'd have the telemarketers calling you and my parents would be irritated and they would, in a kind way, tell off the telemarketers. Like, are you really going to call me at 6 p.m. right when most families are sitting down for dinner? Like, pick if you're going to bother me, pick a different time. I understand you're doing your job, but how about you don't call me at 6 p.m.? But you couldn't avoid it because the phone's just ringing right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're right. We may have to go back and watch season two of that now that I realize that's what it was that we were starting
episodes
to watch. Yeah, I didn't know there were more episodes of it because it's been at least 3 years,
well,
it seems like, since we watched that.
Created by Ben Stiller, and he directed a whole bunch of the episodes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It's, really? So much of why it's intense is it's the creepy music. I remember when I was in orchestra in, I think it was middle school, maybe.
What'd you play?
Violin and viola.
Nice.
At different times, yeah. And I did piano, too. Obviously, that's not part of orchestra, but I did do that. And I remember we did this experiment that really stuck with me, and that was we had to pick a movie, bring it in, and we would play it without music. And I think I brought in, was it Jaws? I mean, some of the movies like Jaws or... what am I thinking of with the shower scene with the
Psycho?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we would play it without music, like I said. And you know what I think I brought in was What Lies Beneath. That movie has always really freaked me out. Like, to this day, I would not want to watch that. I've seen it, but it scares me. And then we put the music on. And wow, what a difference it makes when you have that creepy music in the background. And I would say Severance is packed full with that.
Speaking of scary, my wife just tried to call me to prove the point there a minute ago, but
did
my phone
really
was on vibrate and I didn't pick it up.
See, I always have my phone on vibrate and then I get so irritated when I'm home alone and no one can even call my phone, but not like it really helps even if someone's there to call it because it's on vibrate, so it's not like, you know, I'm really able to hear it.
You know why she's up so early? Can I say why?
Yoga?
I know why she's up
Pilates?
So early.
She's
going to what I refer to as stinky yoga.
She goes to
hot yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do yoga to begin with, but doing it at 110 degrees is not something that I would ever want to do, I don't think.
I've done,
I
think I did a live shot one
Michelle.
Time in Des Moines when I
was oh, doing
hot yoga.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't think I've actually done a class, just a live shot on
oh,
it.
Oh, I was going to say you weren't live while you were doing it because sweat
I may have
would
been.
Be pouring off
no, it
of
does.
You.
But it kind of feels good. I get why she wants to do that.
I do not
have a
get
good
that
class,
one.
Michelle.
I do not get that one at all. All right, we're going to be back here in just a minute. We're going to give you any updates that come in on the crash there in Washington, D.C. A little later, Congressman Eric Burleson, he may have some thoughts on that. Bill Igel is going to join us. Dennis Hancock and Jane Duke are a little later in the program. We'll be right back.
The fact is, what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet. I have no love for Assad or Gaddafi or any dictator. I just hate al-Qaeda. I hate that we have leaders who cozy up to Islamist extremists, minimizing them to so-called rebels. As Jake Sullivan said to Hillary Clinton, quote, al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Well, Syria is now controlled by an al-Qaeda offshoot, HTS, led by an Islamist jihadist who danced in the streets on 9/11 and who was responsible for the killing of many American service members.
I thought Tulsi Gabbard handled that hearing beautifully yesterday, but I'm disturbed to realize that there are a handful of Republicans who might be about to sink her as DNI. And if that's the case, I would hope that the Trump administration nominates somebody else with the exact same credentials. She serves in the military currently. She's in the reserves. She's been a United States congressman. She's had all of the security clearances and everything else you could need to be the director of national intelligence. And they're all mad at her over the fact that she wouldn't condemn Edward Snowden as a traitor. And that seems to be what this is going to come down to. She says a second Republican senator said there's been a lot of discussion among GOP lawmakers over her fitness to lead the nation's intelligence community because she would not condemn Edward Snowden. So, obviously, he released documents that in some cases embarrassed the U.S. With information that some people in the intelligence community did not want out there. According to the coverage yesterday, she was asked whether she views Snowden as a traitor, advising the members of the intelligence panel would feel a lot better about her nomination if she would do so. And she would not do that. Go to cut number five, Carl, please.
Democrat senators in the past resorted to anti-Christian bigotry against some of President Trump's judicial nominees like Amy Coney Barrett and Brian Boucher. I condemn those actions as a Democrat in Congress at the time, as religious bigotry must be thoroughly condemned by all of us, no matter the religion. Unfortunately, there are some Democrat senators who still don't understand the principle of freedom of religion and Article 6 of the Constitution. Quote, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Unfortunately, they're once again using the religious bigotry card, but this time trying to foment religious bigotry against Hindus and Hinduism. If anyone is sincerely interested in knowing more about my own personal spiritual path of Hinduism, I welcome you to go to my account on X, where I'll share more on this topic.
Well, I wonder what exactly it is that they're afraid of. When asked about Snowden, she said he broke the law and was held responsible for it, for the theft of top secret documents that he ended up putting out in public and in many cases landing in the hands of the Russians, right? He was found guilty of that, right? And didn't he hide for years and years overseas where we couldn't get him? I had no idea she was Hindu.
I didn't either. I also didn't know that she pronounced Islamist, Islamist.
Yes. I don't know. She had sitting in the front row with her, behind her, a former Navy SEAL who supports her nomination. There was some guy sitting back there, too. It distracted me a little bit. I was watching this yesterday, watching her answer questions, and I was distracted because, of course, she's from the state of Hawaii, right? There was a dude sitting two rows behind her wearing a lei, like a blue necklace of flowers in the second row. And I don't know, I didn't hear in the coverage. I tuned in after it had already started. Maybe somebody had already explained who that was sitting back there wearing the flowers behind her. And I don't know what the significance of that was beyond the fact that apparently if you travel to Hawaii, you often get one of those when you leave the plane.
When
right,
you get
Carl?
Off the plane, yes.
Yeah.
It's like a puka shell necklace, you know, when you were a teenager and you get the puka shell.
That takes me back to the 80s.
If you get your lei necklace or whatever, is it called a necklace? Then you have to wear it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just your lei.
Maybe he was late getting there or something and forgot to take it off. Maybe it was just to show unity for her being from the state of Hawaii.
Probably that. I know they get to pick who sits right behind him because I saw that RFK Jr.'s wife was right behind him, which I get. I mean, they're being grilled for a very long time with tough questions and all these cameras in their faces. There you go. So that's good that they allow them to pick some people to sit behind them, to feel that support. That would be hard to be in their position. And sure, you know, some of the questions they're going to throw at you, there are some very obvious ones that you should prepare for. But I'll guarantee these senators are they're doing anything they can to trip them up.
Well, the senators claim that the Snowden question was not a trick question. And that it was notable she would not acknowledge that he hurt national intelligence by doing what she did. And they also pressed her about her past support for a pardon for him. So I don't know. We'll see if that sinks her nomination, if she revises her comments about that or her position or explains it. I did not hear that yesterday. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll get to Nicole Murray, get you an update on the business this morning. We got In Other News and Congressman Eric Burleson at about 7:08.
Get more at 971talk.com.